speaker this evening has a doctor of jurisprudence, master of education. He's an author, lawyer, futurist, peace activist, environmental activist, and space activist who promotes the ban of space weapons. He was a co-architect of the Space Preservation Treaty and the Space Preservation Act. He's a judge in the Kuala Lumpur International War Crimes Tribunal and is the international director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space. He is co-author of the 9/11 Independent Prosecutor Act and the author of Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. He and Lauren Murray have proposed a Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal. Please join me in welcoming Alfred Weber.
Thank you. Is the sound okay? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Great. Fellow citizens, 9/11 and the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization. 9/11 was a false flag operation by an international war crimes racketeering organization to provide a pretext to engage in genocidal and ecocidal depleted uranium bombing of Central Asia, Afghanistan, and Iraq in order to secure vast oil and uranium reserves, to roll out a terror-based national security state system worldwide, and yes, although it's difficult for us humans to accept, to implement the final stages of a world depopulation policy. That's 9/11. Independent scientist Loren Murray states, intentional depopulation and massive genocide are the core policies by which ruling elites drive international relations, economic aid development, strategic weapons development, and the design of engineered wars and war crimes. The operational goal of this intentional depopulation policy is the reduction of the human population. This depopulation policy is intended by the world's ruling elite to result in control of mineral and strategic resources, water, and total control of the world's wealth. One of the most common political epithets for the depopulation policy is the New World Order. Quote, end quote. The War Crimes Racketeering Organization. Since at least 1954, this intentional depopulation policy has been put into effect by an international war crimes racketeering organization, with interlocking branches in North America. In North America, it's through the Brotherhood of Death. That's the secret name of Skull and Bones, an organization at the university that I achieved my undergraduate degree in, my law school degree, and I taught in the economics department at Yale University. I am not a member of Skull and Bones. I was a member of Torch and Talon. Torch and Talon was an underground secret society. We rented a house, a beach house in Brantford, and met once a week. This was in the 60s, and we had encounter groups. We sort of talked to each other psychological stories. Skull and Bones is a different story. It goes back to 1832 and was chartered as the initial chapter of the Brotherhood of Death, a German satanic organization. The founders of Skull and Bones went on to charter the first clipper ships that smuggled opium from India to China as part of the original opium wars, and that's what formed the initial fusion of arms, drugs, and oil as the highest ranking industries of the permanent war economy. and that's what started the modern permanent war economy. It came out of the Brotherhood of Death. And in North America, the affiliated networks of the Rockefeller-linked organizations, they've been mentioned here, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, as well as the myriad of corporations, the big oil companies, etc. Another leg of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization is in the UK, in Masonic satanic networks in government, military, intelligence, finance, media, and the House of Windsor, starting with the Queen of England, who's the sovereign head of state of my country, Canada. I'm a dual citizen of the United States and of Canada. And international neo-Zionist networks, including the House of Rothschild and affiliated London banking entities going back more than 300 years. If you go to the City of London is actually a private sovereign state of 677 acres in the central core of London, ruled by a committee of 12 banks headed by the Bank of England, which is in effect an extension of the House of Rothschild. And by right, the Queen of England, or the King, the then ruler, must request permission to enter the City of London, must follow the Lord Mayor, and protocol strictly governs what Queen's officials may follow her. And the depopulation policy follows from the City of London. The value that your U.S. dollar is now plunging from is dictated by the City of London. The fact that your troops are fighting in Afghanistan and in Iraq is dictated by the City of London. You have a sitting president who was appointed by a Supreme Court and elected by crooked electoral machines, who's a puppet of the City of London. Exotic depopulation technologies. The United States and Canada are puppet governments of the City of London. The International War Crimes Racketeering Organization implements its depopulation policy by increasing the death rate of targeted populations and decreasing their birth rate. That's the technology of how the depopulation policy is carried out. Increasing the death rate of targeted populations and decreasing their birth rate through a combination of the following technologies. Number one, false flag operations and engineered wars. 9/11, of which we're all scholars, and we certainly want to thank you, Jim and Mr. Barrett, for calling this important conference. 9/11 is the classic false flag operation intended to trigger an engineered war against terror, quote end of quote, leading to a possible World War III conflagration against conflagration as an industrial activity. To the permanent war economy, war is an industrial activity created by controlling both sides of the Hegelian dialectic of enemies, i.e., war is their business. And 9/11 is one in a series of major planned global false flag operations. My co-director at the Institute for Cooperation in Space, Dr. Carol Rosen, was a colleague of Dr. Wernher von Braun, who was a whistleblower against the Nazis and against the U.S. Space Command. He attempted escapes from Peenemünde during World War II. And he has indicated that there are false flag operations after
9/11. In the latter part of his life, he told my co-director of the false flag operation that with the collapse of communism, they would create the next enemy, which would be international terrorism, and foretold the 9/11 event. And following that, there would be two further threats. One would be the war against the asteroids, and another would be, quote, the war against the evil ETs. So we are kind of in the middle of the major false flag operations. And several years ago, one of my books, I'll take all questions at the end, thank you. And several years ago, one of my books actually founded a field called exopolitics, of which this last threatened false flag operation against false ETs. They're going to stage an attack on the Earth by, quote, evil ETs, which will actually be us in flying saucers. And so exopolitics, if you want to learn about the next genre of false flag operations. Another technology for increasing the death rate of targeted populations and increasing the death rate and decreasing the birth rate is intentional nuclear radiation. And nuclear weapons and nuclear testing, nuclear war, through nuclear power, and through depleted uranium weapons. The demonstrated public health effects of depleted uranium weapons include diabetes, cancer, birth defects, chronic diseases caused by neurological and neuromuscular radiation damage, mitochondrial diseases, such as chronic fatigue syndrome, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's, heart and brain disorders, global DNA damage in men's sperm, infertility in women, learning disabilities such as autism and dyslexia, mental illness, infant mortality, and low birth weights. Now, that is how they're depopulating. The United States, which has been subjected to tremendous low, whose population has been subjected to a tremendous low-level nuclear war, has the highest index of mental illness in the world, compared to some African countries, say, that are down at 3 and 4%. 26% of the U.S. population has a mental illness diagnosis. And that is most plausibly due to the effect of atmospheric and underground testing at the Nevada nuclear test site, which has moved unnecessarily there. Other technologies that are used for depopulation include engineered bioweapons, such as the avian flu. We know that's the next possible false flag operation. It's a bioweapon which some researchers, there was a paper presented on this at the Vancouver 9/11 conference, say can kill up to 2 billion persons if it's fully activated. That's your 2 billion right there. AIDS as an engineered bioweapon was targeted at populations such as Africa and southern India for purposes of depopulation. Africa, in order to gain the mineral resources of Africa. And we have witnesses who were U.S. Army Rangers who went and vaccinated the people of southern Africa with vaccines that were laced with AIDS, and who said, yeah, these people are going to be dead in 10 years. And that's the source of the AIDS vaccine. AIDS was developed on a U.S. line budget item at one of the bioweapons labs in the UN, in the U.S. as a bioweapon. Yes, exactly. That's how the depopulation is being carried out. Electronic weapons such as HARP and exotic weapons such as chemtrails, contrails, which according to leading researchers are covertly accelerating global warming,
climate change and unstable weather as part of a depopulation and global political control strategy, which was documented in a 1968 book by a leading Jason scientist, and the book was entitled Toward the Year 2017. You know, Al Gore's book should be called the An Incomplete Truth, i.e. Global, what we call global warming and climate change, which is occurring in the solar system because of a 26,000 year cycle at the galactic center, which the Mayans call Unaku. And these are cosmic cycles. I mean, there's global warming going on Mars right now. In 1968, there was a book published that says that the U.S. military has to adopt a strategy to melt the ice caps of the Northern Hemisphere.
That's what HAARP is.
Exactly. And so through HAARP, all this, quote, accelerated global warming is environmental warfare for U.S. military expansionism. And in Canada now, we have already a fight where the U.S. is claiming the Northwest Passage, which Canada claimed for its own, and just this week, Russia claimed the North Pole. So that's what that's all about. So don't buy into the global warming meme. That's all part of the depopulation strategy. This global warming is being accelerated in order to flood the coastal areas to reduce the population down to 4, perhaps 2. I've seen down to 500 million worldwide. They want a planetary theme park of a second tier class headed up by the aristocracy. And I hung out with the high and the low. I prefer to be us thieves. The martial law depopulation matrix. Now, what I'm about to say now is being published this week in what's been termed the leading African-American newspaper in the U.S., the San Francisco Bayview. So what I'm reading now is from a document that is being published for the first time in the U.S. this week. And it's being broadcast tonight in a pre-recorded talk that I did with the Nova M Network, which is one of the successors to the Air America Network. So this is, I flew here especially to deliver this message to you, us, an American audience. I voluntarily left the United States in the mid-1980s because strategically I saw that I had to service the world and the United States from a place outside of the United States. The martial law depopulation matrix. A matrix of martial law legislation and executive orders of the Bush administration is now in place for the abolition of constitutional democracy, the relocation, incarceration, and depopulation of the North American public, and the illegal expropriation of its property. Hurricane Katrina was just the test gate. The matrix, the depopulation matrix, is designed to be activated by a 9/11 style false flag state terror attack against a major urban center in the U.S., possibly using nuclear, biological weapons, or advanced exotic weapons such as directed energy weapons, which I think Dr. Wood has done a magnificent job of, you know, really holding her space. You may recall that in January of 2001, because this is all in plain sight, FEMA issued the following bulletin. They said, oh, we're prepared.
There's going to be a terror attack in New York. There's going to be a devastating hurricane in New Orleans. And there's going to be a cataclysmic earthquake, probably on the San Andreas Fault. That's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Well, we've had the terror attack in New York through the false flag operation using most plausibly directed energy weapons of some sort. Okay? We've had the Hurricane Katrina false flag operation using most plausibly directed energy weapons or HAARP to teleguide the hurricane right into New Orleans, where my grandparents were married in the St. Louis Cathedral, and my family goes back to the 17th century. Okay? Boom! I mean, I went to school in New Orleans. You don't have electricity there now. And Blackwater walks the streets.
And shoots anyone they want to.
Yeah. It's not the United States anymore. We still have the we still have you may want to turn off your phone, Barbara. Inside, people have been talking.
And on the whole conference.
Yeah, yeah. Just mute it.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay. We still have the earthquake, tectonic earthquake. We take the Tianshan earthquake in 1977. That was what 325,000, 650,000. You know, boom. I mean, my theory is that Loren said, don't say it, Alfred, because they're going to just really say, they're going to think that you're crazy. But I'm going to say it because I've been suing these guys. I sued the Prime Minister of Canada in 1988 to stop NAFTA along with George H.W. Bush. So I walked right into the executive office building and filed it. Then I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and I'm going to say it because in my professional opinion as a lawyer and a litigator, and having watched that letter on the screen, that letter, which was dated July 27th, in my opinion there's a strong probability that that letter, the controlled demolition of the Minneapolis Bridge by a directed energy weapon, and this conference were all timed. Okay? There, I have just said it. Just so that I think that you people deserve a glimpse into the level of control and surveillance that is at work here. The police state roadmap, which I recommend that you all read if you haven't, is a 201-page document by a UK researcher. You can find it on the internet or at the website of the Canadian Action Party. States, quote, from recent pronouncements and legislative developments, it appears both the US and UK governments may suspend parliamentary democracy after the next major terror attack. That's what this is all about. If you think that they've been planning, Iraqi freedom, they've been planning Operation USA Freedom for a longer time. And that is, cancel the Constitution! Wake up, folks! With the war on terror expected to go on forever, we may soon find ourselves under a form of indefinite martial law. The definition of martial law, if you go to the Oxford American Dictionary, is, quote, military government, suspension of ordinary law. I grew up in Cuba. My mother's Cuban. I was under a military government of Fulgencio Artista. I was in his prisons, and I was under the government of Fidel Castro, and I was in his prisons. I know a little bit about martial law. The populace will be required to surrender rights to life, liberty, and property for short-term expediency. This will be the window of opportunity planners need to purge visiting groups and exploit the popular panic to introduce permanent legal or constitutional changes. Chapter 10, Martial Law, the Police State Roadmap. Depopulation is the deeper reason for military government. Terms like, quote, martial law, quote, New World Order, quote, Security and Prosperity Partnership, quote, are code words for a depopulation policy to reduce global population by between 2 billion and 4 billion persons. Do you remember the entrance to one of the concentration camps in Germany? Arbeit macht frei. Work makes you free. Security and Prosperity Partnership. New World Order. Come into the New World Order. Come in. Work makes you free. These are code words. They aren't programs. They're a depopulation policy. The depopulation legal matrix is itself a false flag operation against our constitutional democracy. There is no functional reason to cancel constitutional democracy and the Bill of Rights in the USA other than the imposition of a police state for the purpose of depopulation. These are some of the... I'll go through them very quickly in the interest of time. Number one, the USA Patriot Act, signed by George W. Bush on October 26, 2001, undercuts freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. Many of them. Number two, the North American Union Security and Prosperity Partnership, signed March 23, 2005. That's a regulatory structure for implementing the legal matrix of martial law and for extending it to Canada and Mexico. They are now implementing the third and final meeting on August 20th to 21st in Montebello, Canada. Canada's up in arms because it's the U.S. Army that is occupying and enforcing a 25-kilometer perimeter around the meeting. Not even the Canadian Army. And it's only the U.S. Secret Service is supposed to protect the President, not the U.S. Army. So everybody's starting, only a small number of people starting to wake up there. Why? Why is it that there are so many of our fellow citizens who are in a state of permanent narcosis? That's HARP. That's the electromagnetic weapons that which are being used to keep the cattle anesthetized.
And here too. Why don't they work on us?
Like they don't.
Military Commissions Act. They do that. That's why our movements are so precious. Military Commissions Act, signed September 28, 2006, eliminates the right of habeas corpus and for the first time since the Civil War designates U.S. citizens as enemy combatants. We're enemy combatants. Do you realize that we could walk out and this meeting could be designated a terrorist meeting legally right now and we're enemy combatants? The John Warner Defense Authorization Act undercuts the Posse Comitatus Act, renames the Insurrection Act of 1807 as the Enforcement of the Laws to Restore Public Order Act, expanding the President to deploy troops in the United States to include, quote, national disaster, epidemic, or other serious public health emergency, terrorist act or incidents, or other condition, and such condition is not defined or limited, or other condition. The National Security Presidential Directive 51 of May 9, 2007 authorizes the U.S. President to assume dictatorial control of the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government and direct all private sector activities in the event of, quote, a catastrophic emergency, which can take place anywhere in the world. Finally, on July 17, the executive order blocking property of certain persons who threaten stabilization efforts in Iraq. On the face of it, this executive order is so vague that peach marchers could be targeted by the order. I didn't see a single peace t-shirt on my flight here from Canada. Not a single one, because I've read that people are arrested for walking around with peace t-shirts. It may not happen here, because this is still a relatively liberal city. Okay. In my capacity, 9/11 as a war crime. The Nuremberg Principles of 1945 have made offensive wars a war crime. In other words, crimes against peace and aggressive wars. Since 1945, war has been outlawed. Hello? It's been outlawed. Hola, despierta. Ya la guerra acá es ilegal. No, cuidado. Hey, Americans, haven't you heard that war is illegal? You haven't gotten the news? The U.S. and other agents of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, in other words, the U.S. is just the bouncer of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, which is centered in the city of London.
Yeah.
That's about the size of it.
We're a military proxy.
And so, because war is now illegal, you have to use the technology of false flag operation to sucker punch somebody into a war or into making it appear as though you've been attacked, because war is a crime. It's the highest of crimes. And that methodology, as has been mentioned here, was used in the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and since time immemorial in the U.S. Republic. Now, the false flag operation of September 11th and each of these depopulation-related activities of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization constitute, by the definitions of the Rome Statute of the International Court, violations of the most serious crimes of concern to the international community as a whole. That is, the crime of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of aggression. 9/11 is a war crime and constitutes genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of aggression. First of all, I'd like to congratulate again Dr. Judy Wood, because I think she's proved prima facie that 9/11 by itself tonight was a crime against humanity through the use of an advanced exotic weapon. Okay? Moreover, since the false flag operation of 9/11 was the pretext for and an integral part of the planning and execution of the illegal war of aggression in 2001 against Afghanistan, the Tokyo International Tribunal for War Crimes in Afghanistan found in 2004 that the use of depleted uranium weapons in Afghanistan by the U.S. constituted genocide, ecocide, and omnicide, i.e., the most serious of war crimes. And since 9/11 was an integral part of that illegal war, i.e., it was a pretext, therefore, 9/11 is itself a war crime. This is important because there are at least four concurrent solutions.
Take your time.
Okay. There are at least four concurrent solutions to the challenge of the depopulation policy of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization that I would like to explore here. I.e., how do we get ourselves out of this mess? Right? We're a small, awake, alert cadre. How do we get ourselves out of this mess? I'll list the four very quickly. We'll go through each of them very quickly and then some final thoughts. Number one, a citizens' war crimes justice movement. Number two, stop the depopulation and the genocide. Three, shift to new breakthrough energy technologies, moving beyond petroleum and nuclear, which are the principal tools of the war crimes organization, to breakthrough fuelless, non-polluting, zero-point energy technologies that are now sequestered in the national security state. And number four, transform the permanent warfare economy by banning weapons and warfare in space and cutting off the next arena, which is outer space, for the permanent war economy. Okay, a Citizens War Crimes Tribunal. I'm just going to cut to the chase here, and that is that in Vancouver, at the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference on June 24th, we propose a 9/11 Citizens War Crimes Tribunal, which would be established under the jurisdiction of the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. The Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal is, which was established in February of this year, is by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, and the Perdana Global Peace Organization is the world's only permanent citizens war crimes tribunal. It was established because the International Criminal Court, which is supposed to be doing that, at that date had ignored over 240 war crimes complaints brought by citizens for war crimes in Iraq. Why? Because the ICC is controlled by the Western powers and by agents of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization. So we got the approval to form a Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal under the jurisdiction of the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. So that would prosecute the perpetrators of 9/11 for war crimes, including genocide, crimes against humanity, and crimes against peace, as set out in the Nuremberg Principles, the Geneva Conventions, and the Rome Statute. And just in the time that we have announced this tribunal, we have key witnesses come forward and contact me. I've had the privilege, along with seven other individuals who are senior jurists, retired federal judges, eminent law professor from the University of Chicago, Francis Boyle, a key witness come forward, who is a witness to Donald Rumsfeld in the Nixon administration, as far back as 1971, involved in the planning of September 11th. So we have that, and he contacted me. He wants to come forward. I believe that Dr. Judy Wood and the evidence that she has presented here would be a worthy witness at an international citizens war crimes tribunal. So this is going forward. And I just want to mention this. So people say, well, what are the principles or the jurisdiction? The jurisdiction is natural law. In jurisprudence, natural law has a number of different meanings. Natural law is the underlying force of all of our laws, and our societies, our institutions, our courts, our parliaments, our governments do not invent justice when they create our social laws. At best, they work to incorporate as much of the fundamental force of justice into our social laws. So our citizens' movement is coming together under the force of natural law. In some societies, they call it karma. It's very powerful. And because over 104 nations have become state parties to the Rome Statute of the International Court, that means that each of them have passed enabling statutes which allow their national courts to enforce and to prosecute war crimes. So we can take a proper record with proper, you know, under proper statutes and proper procedures and go to those national courts of progressive nations that do prosecute war crimes, such as Argentina, Chile, Germany, Spain, Italy, Venezuela, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Bolivia, and others, and ask them to prosecute the 9/11 war criminals with our findings. And that should be also not under retributive justice, which would be the death penalty, not for nine, but restorative justice, which is to take their wealth and to apply it to the restoration of our societies and our individuals and the environment. And so this is going forward. 2. Stop the depopulation and the genocide very quickly. Stop all nuclear technologies immediately with nuclear-free zones, citizen action, and treaty strategy. Stop HAARP and chemtrail programs immediately. Stop bioweapons and the weaponization of food through citizen action, treaty strategies, and national laws. Transforming our energy priorities and shifting to new, non-polluting, fuelless energy sources. They are functioning, non-polluting, fuelless energy sources and time travel teleportation technology sequestered within the black budget military intelligence defense industry complex, whose annual budget is $1.5 trillion as compared to $600 billion, which is the surface defense budget. These new energies would revolutionize our whole way of life, the quality of life, and our environment on the planet. We are currently developing a new energy initiative, Event Zero, in support of zero-point energy, to be launched in 2008 for support of new energy and a truth amnesty disclosure process, which is like the South Africa truth amnesty process, where people who were members of the South Africa police during apartheid came up to a commission, told the truth, and they were given amnesty. And we have indications that people within the black budget economy are now ready to and are in favor of disclosing these new energy technologies, but don't want to be held liable for all the crimes that were committed over the last 60 years. So we're going to be pushing starting on September 14th to 15th in Washington, D.C., at the X conference there for a truth amnesty disclosure process. 4, transforming the permanent war economy into a sustainable space age society through a space preservation treaty to ban all weapons in space. There have been over 40,000 international agreements have been filed in this regard. We are now working with the president of Ecuador, the incoming president of Ecuador, very progressive. He wants to kick the World Bank out of Ecuador. And we have a new strategy because the UN Conference on Disarmament has been bottled up by the U.S. Over the last 6 or 7 years. We call it the Simón Bolívar strategy. We're working with the president of Ecuador and a core of 5 progressive Latin American countries to get the Space Preservation Treaty signed there, deposited with the UN Secretary General as treaty depository, brings it into force, and then bring all the other countries on. They voted 178-1 in December 2006 at the UN General Assembly to ban all weapons in space. Only the US does not want to ban weapons in space. Okay, this is the final exhortation. Oh, my fellow citizens, who I get to see once in a while when I come to the U.S. Nurture the body politic. The depopulation matrix can be defeated by our taking active part in the body politic, infusing vital popular energy into our constitutional democracy. Become personally involved in the 2008 electoral process. They want to cancel it. The best thing to do is to become involved in it and energize it. Become involved in the 2008 electoral process on the anti-depopulation matrix platform. There are over 550,000 elected political offices in the USA. Run for office. Work for a candidate at the municipal, county, state, or federal level. 2, aggressively seek removal of U.S. President George W. Bush and Vice President Richard B. Cheney. Yay! Through the constitutional means of Article 2 impeachment or Article 3 criminal prosecution for treason in the false flag 9/11 attack on the USA.
Or a court martial of the president.
There you go. Publicize the depopulation matrix existence. In other words, all these that they are set up to cancel constitutional government and to relocate, incarcerate, depopulate, and
steal property.
And steal your property.
Appropriate and
attack the constitutionality and legitimacy of the component false flag laws and executive orders at every opportunity. Here we have Presidential Directive 51, which cancels the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government, and it was sneaked in, and nobody's doing anything. None of the Congress is doing anything. We have the October 17th law, which is totally vague, in which all property can be seized, and we're paralyzed, and it's HARP. That's the mechanism. Finally, create. You know, if you have a hurricane coming, what do? You prepare for the hurricane. Create community phone and email trees to coordinate information and resistance. Resistance to beat this thing. Resistance in the event of a false flag attack. I agree with those posters. By the Bush administration on the population of the USA. Thank you very much for your patience.
I think Doug Rocky and Lauren Murray and Alfred Lever have contributed an extraordinarily valuable dimension to this conference. Doug Rocky is here now. I'd like to make a comment, and I'm going to invite any questions you have for the speakers. If you would please come up and speak into the microphone so we can record it. Doug.
Okay, I think there's something to understand. How many people here understand or know of Project Shad? Please raise your hand.
Project what?
Project Shad. Barb, she wants you to have to understand, Barb's graduate of the War College, right?
The National Security Decision Making.
That's even better. Okay, Project Shad is deliberate use of chemical and biological munitions on U.S. citizens. It started back in the 50s. It continues on to this day. All you have to do is go on the internet and search Project Shad. It will come on up. Project Shad, most recent uses of Project Shad is salmonella and peanut butter. First off, peanut butter does not contain any eggs, does not contain any salmonella. The other thing that we had recently was the lettuce and all this stuff with E. coli. E. coli comes from meat and comes from feces. It's not showing up in the lettuce coming out of California. Okay, so we've got all this stuff. It's really weird stuff that's coming on down. So we have all this stuff. Now, let's go to the Patriot Act. Okay. It's going to be hard to take, guys. The Patriot Act is Presidential Decision Directives number 39. Write this down. Go look. Presidential Decision Directives number 39 and Presidential Decision Directive number 62, written by Clinton, Gore, and Reno. Reality is. So all stuff has been in place. Albert talked about 51 and everything should have been put in place. Now, one thing you have to understand about Presidential Decision Directives, they do not fall under congressional control. Presidential Decision Directive trumps all federal law. It's the whole shebang. The president has the ability. Congress does not have any authority to override Presidential Decision Directives. It's a law without any coverage whatsoever. So, I mean, that's the hardcore reality of what's coming down. It's scary and a half when you look at how these things all function. But you have to go back and understand how it was put together and understand it's independent Republican, independent Democrat, and it's across the whole group.
I thought the National Presidential Security Directive only went up to 51, and after that they stopped being.
No. You've got a whole bunch of them in place. We've been teaching, when I go out and teach counterterrorism, law enforcement, police and everything, we cover all of this stuff. We're teaching this stuff, we control who comes into the classes and everything else. I mean, we're not even going there. Barb, I know you've had some of these classes. You definitely have had them. Probably seen some of the stuff we wrote over all the years. But, you know, we're not going to teach that here or go into it. But you have to understand, the Presidential Decision Directives continue on and on and on. Now, the other thing, too, is what happens with the military and everything else. You have no ability to, if you're in the military, you have no ability to sue the federal government, the VA, or anything. That falls under the Ferris Doctrine. Some of the recent court cases we had, especially with the 442nd New York Military Police Unit, National Guard, those guys are the rescues, the police and the fire that went into the World Trade Center, survived, got deployed. They all got zapped. They sued under the thing to get their medical care, which was denied, and they used Ferris, Kilpatrick used Ferris to kill any medical care for these guys and the birth defects on their children. It's just cut and dry. It's that simple.
Yes, questions, Barbara?
Use the mic?
Yeah, come on, yeah.
Anyone who has a question, come and line up by the mic.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd actually like to add more to my comment about the possibility of court-martialing the President of the United States in his Article III role as Commander-in-Chief. This is my own idea. I've sold it successfully to Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman, who is now on the end of a 120-city speaking tour. As you know, he was an explicit 9/11 truth candidate in the 15th District of Florida and almost won with 44% of the vote and no support by the Democratic Party. He has understood, I fully support everything that you have just heard, the International War Crimes Tribunal, but this is a long process. The brilliance, in my opinion, of the idea of bringing a formal charge to court-martial the President of the United States in his military role as Commander-in-Chief for his abuse of his military role as Commander-in-Chief. One of our colleagues in the 9/11 Truth Movement in Vermont, Jim Hogue, has actually physically gone and talked to Francis Boyle, and Francis Boyle has looked into this possibility and come back and told Jim Hogue, who told me, that yes, it is doable. He looked at the Code of Military Justice, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and it requires, Rocky, it requires only a single active duty officer to bring such a charge. We're looking for, obviously, not just a single active duty officer. You still know people on the inside. Help me. Help Bob Bowman find these people. Just imagine a press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., ideally on September 11th or before, in which as many high-ranking officers and enlisted and people who have come back from Iraq, I mean, all of the above, but you've got to have some high-level active duty officers. One is all it takes, but you want as many as possible with as many ribbons on as possible. The National Press Club calling for the court-martial of the President of the United States and the entire complicit military chain of command for flying us into Iraq and all of this laundry list that you have heard. And all of this is already written up. I'm sure that Alfred has a list, and as you know, Representative John Conyers has already got the documentation. We already have what we need. We just need the right officers to call for a court-martial. Now, just so that you know, this is very exciting. I was the California delegate to the recent Philadelphia Emergency Convention called for by Cindy Sheehan, which intentionally brought together the anti-war movement and the 9/11 Truth Movement in Philadelphia this July 4th. We had a platform, and I raised to the delegation, to the entire convention, the concept of court-martialing the President of the United States and the entire complicit chain of command for lying us into Iraq and everything else we want to list. The beauty of this is you don't have to go to 9/11, but you can't. You don't even have to go there to do this. But it was voted on unanimously, and it is in the platform. You can go to actindependent.org, read that platform. And also, just recently, as you may or may not know, just recently there was an event at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. Ed Asner, David Ray Griffin, and myself were the speakers. And there, a very courageous young man, a Marine who has in his full dress uniform demonstrated with a 9/11 Truth Now placard. It does every 11th of the month in Los Angeles. Johnny Wade, it's not his real name, but that's the name he uses for this. He called on the dais of the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, this huge cathedral-like building, on September 8th, on July 8th, just passed, seconded my call on the dais for a court-martial of the President of the United States for his and his complicit chain of command. And last thing, I've been asked to wrap it up. It is very important to know that Cindy Sheehan is going to be in the Emmanuel Church in Los Angeles this August 17th, 7 o'clock p.m., with Willie Rodriguez. Be there. Thank you.
Barbara Honegger. Several of people who have been presenting have stimulated in my memory someone who has come to me and said, I and people who worked for me have been the subject of government experimentation requiring no
disclosure, pulled up the law that has now been repealed and modified, but which allowed for experimentation on U.S. citizens by the military with notification 30 days after and notification to an unidentified, really, public official who would be informed on behalf of the people who were being experimented on. I went and I searched the code, and it's in there. I forgot the number. This guy is now under a great deal of pressure, and he feels that he's being targeted after years. And I'm wondering if you guys have any ideas of an attorney who would like to speak to him. He has been turned down by ACLU and by every other organization, and all the silk stocking firms touch the files and drop them. And he needs help.
Nobody's protecting us.
Okay. Project Shad participants, it goes back many, many years, all kinds of things that have been done at Abilene Proving Ground, Maryland, all over the place, even at the University of Illinois. It's almost 20 years ago, exact, telephone company was putting new telephone lines out in East Main in Urbana behind the research center. They unearthed chemical munitions there that had been used on the University of Illinois. I was the Army officer along with my team that went in to clean it up. We were level A spacesuits. I don't know how much you guys know about that stuff. Now, right now, current things. What we have forced through the Department of Defense is called the hotline. There is a hotline. They can call. I don't have the number with me. But you just go into the Department of Defense hotline, and what it does is provide medical care within 72 hours. As a result of everything we've done, all of our testimony, we had the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Bill Wickenwerder, fired. We have the Secretary of the Army, Harvey, fired. We have the Secretary, the head of the U.S. Army, the Surgeon General, Kevin Kiley. I don't know forever, he got fired. We have the guy that had Walter Reed fired. We're working on Kilpatrick. He's running and hiding right now. So what we have now, and if you don't know, the VA Secretary went out the window, 96 hours ago probably? The last 3 to 4 days. So anyhow, the hotline is in place. If he does, you go on the Army Times website, the Army Hotline, and it's their DOD hotline, and you call them within 72 hours, they're supposed to provide thorough and prompt effective medical care. I do know it works because I used it myself. And man, it turned up a firestorm, so I've even gotten medical care for myself and continuous improved medical care for myself here in the last week, the last few weeks from the VA. VA directors agreed to meet with me now to discuss all this stuff. Incredible action. So the hotline does do it, so call that and get your help. Casualties continue to mount.
Now he's civilian.
Absolutely, it doesn't matter.
All right.
It was Department of Defense Military Operations, Department of Defense, anything under the government, civilian, military, government, family members, children, or anybody that's affected, the hotline has now been implemented to ensure mandatory medical care for. Medical care will come from the Department of Defense or from the VA direct.
I have a comment, I think. It just popped in my head. I'm with American Free Press. There's something going on in New York that's in its early stages. We've only written one article about it. I wrote it. There's a Carl Pearson, an attorney there, that's trying to get a ballot initiative for the citizens of New York City. What it would do is actually create a new government position, a citywide attorney general in New York City. Right now, as I understand it, each borough in New York has a separate attorney general. They're gathering signatures. It's in its early stages, but they want to create a citywide attorney general, a first ever position of that type in New York City, to officially investigate 911, what happened, as well as look after the sick Ground Zero workers. It didn't have to get mentioned tonight. One of the activists there, I kind of promised him I'd mention it when the right venue came along, so that's what I'm doing. So in American Free Press, that'll be included in some future articles as well as the proceedings at this conference. So I just wanted to interject that while there are still some people here. So.
Lorraine has an additional comment she'd like to make.
One night in the summer of 1990, I lived in Livermore, and I'd been a whistleblower for a while. No, I was about to become one. And I had a physics student who worked at the Livermore lab come and wake me up at midnight. I rented a room out to students in the summertime. And he said, I want you to come out and see something. And I went outside, and there was an amber being 25 feet across,
going straight up into the sky. And I said, what is that? He said, oh, they're making a star with a laser. Making a star. And what I realized when I saw Judy Wood's presentation this evening is that that could have been the prototype for whatever the weapon was that they used at the World Trade Center.
Was it 26 feet, Dennis?
And they kept all air traffic away from that beam for a 5 mile radius all around it. They were making a star. The electricity bill at Livermore is $1 million a month. They have a huge laser project that's gone on for years. It's called SHIMA.
Please join me in thanking Doug Rocky, Lauren Murray, and Alfred Weber for a sensational conclusion to an extraordinary day.
Thanks for tuning in.